Blog Talk Radio.
Carmen Amaros. Thank you for listening in today. Today my program will include an interview with the amazing Kevin Davis, jazz player with the Jazz Cats, songwriter, music arranger, and now director of the off-Broadway play One in a Million Musical. Please join me in welcoming Kevin Davis.
Carmen, I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
It's such an honor.
Oh, the honor is mine, Carmen. Believe me.
I know that the last time that we spoke, I heard that you were now doing jazz music and writing a play. But before we go into that, tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I'm a Brooklyn boy, born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. Went to school in Brooklyn, Brooklyn Tech. I'm a tech knight, yay. Went to Brooklyn College, studied music, studied drama at Carnegie Hall for a season, and had a number of professional jobs as well. But the love of the arts is something that always consumed me, and I'm so happy that a door is open now for me to pursue my first love professionally.
Did you foresee that you would be putting on an off-Broadway production in your youth?
No way, Carmen. If someone had told me this 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 7 years ago even, if someone had told me this, I would have laughed at them. I guess I was caught in the whole, you can't do this kind of thing. That's maybe for other people, not realizing that all of us have so many gifts, and it's up to us to really explore it, and when we do, other doors are open. And so look, the Bible says we're beautifully and wonderfully made, and that means all of us. But we have to sort of take a hold of that and apply that to our lives. And once I figured that out, and it took a long time to do that, but once I did, it's been full speed ahead.
I'm so glad to hear that because, you know, you're my brother. I knew you so many years before when we attended the same church, and I am in complete awe of the fact that you went from becoming a professional musician to now playwright, and to follow the beat of your drum is a beautiful thing. I think God expects that. He really wants us to use our talents in the way that you're using them.
Absolutely, Carmen. That's why he gave it to us. Whether you're an accountant, a lawyer, a singer, a writer, God gave us all these abilities. And now we have to develop it, but now we have to also use it. And we can't let what I call the dream stealers rob from us the very thing that God created us for. Mm-hmm. And he gave you a gift. It wasn't just to sit dormant. He gave it to you for a purpose.
Right.
And to use those things.
Who influenced you in your family to become a musician and a writer? Was it your dad, your mom? Was it in a church? Or?
That's a great question because I'm the only person in my family, as far as I know, that had any sort of affinity toward the arts. My mother is tone deaf. My dad was a merchant marine. My sister sang in the shower. But no one really demonstrated a love of it, but I had a passion for it early on. My mom would tell me that when I was 3 or 4 years old, oh gosh, now I'm dating myself, but I used to play her records. For the young people listening, those are like giant CDs. We used to just play those records over and over and over again. And so I had a tremendous love for this early on. I guess in one very real sense, it would be my mother, because although my mother wasn't an actress or a singer, she had a love for music, and I can remember, Carmen, as a little boy, waking up to hearing the music of Ella Fitzgerald, to waking up and hearing Strauss waltzes playing in the house. And so I guess, really, thinking of it, she would be the influence, absolutely.
Well, in my family, it was my mom, too. She
really?
Was a lover of music, and yeah, she loved opera. She would play symphonic music. She was amazing, my mom. She played a very big role. She sang, but she wasn't really, like, out there professionally, but she was my influence. Tell us about the show you're doing.
I wrote it. I wrote the book. I wrote the music. I'm the choreographer. I'm the producer. The show is called One in a Million, and basically, it deals with real-life situations. The best stories, Carmen, even if they're fictional stories, the best stories have a lot of truth in them, and they come from a real place. And that's what makes them so authentic. That's what makes people able to identify with it. And this play is about a group of church friends, lovable losers, who decide to purchase a lottery ticket as a way of giving back, so to speak. But when they win, it really challenges their friendship and challenges their faith. And I think we've all been faced with those kind of situations.
It's always, always money that comes between people
always.
And relationships, isn't it?
Always. That is a universal story. It tests your character, or I should say, it shows you what you're really made of when you have to make those choices. And so we tell it through song, we tell it through comedy, but the beautiful thing about all of it is that God does show up as people have to work through these issues. So I don't want to give too much of it away. That's kind of what it's about.
And did you write the music and the lyrics too?
Yes. I wrote the music. I wrote the lyrics. And again, it's from real-life situations. You know, I can identify with each of these characters because in some form or fashion, all of these lovable losers are really me or just different things I've done. Different things I've been through, different things we've all been through.
Yes.
And I think
yes.
That's why the play resonates with people.
A lot of people don't reconcile jazz music with faith. How do you do it? What motivated you to do the play on Broadway?
Wow, that's a great question. A lot of times, the way I was raised, or when I first started going to church and church circles, music was very much put into a box. In other words, there was good music and there was bad music. And I never could quite figure that out because the way I look at it is if I could wake up in the morning, it's because God allowed me to wake up in the morning. If I have a love of music and all kinds of music, because I love opera, I love symphonic music, I was a music major, you know, I'm a big fan of the Gershwins and the Tchaikovskys, and I'm a big fan of Duke Ellington.
You're well-rounded.
Well, I like to think so. Thank you, Carmen. But the beauty of it is that I realized that none of these individuals could have written a note if it weren't for God. The only problem is that many people who are talented, whether they are accountants or musicians or singers, don't give God the credit for their talent. So when you give God credit for these beautiful things you create, it just gives honor back to him. So there is no conflict.
Mm-hmm.
The conflict is a man-made one. It's one that we created when there really shouldn't be a conflict there. So once I was freed of kind of that kind of religious point of view, so to speak, if I can use the word in that context, once I was free from that and just focused on the love of God, I could see that all of these things were made for us to enjoy. And so they all are intertwined throughout the evening. Probably a week of performances, excuse me.
Did you foresee that you would be putting on an off-Broadway production when you were younger?
You know, there is no way I could have imagined it or envisioned it. Another very interesting thing that happened, and it all, you know, as a person of faith, it always comes back to that. I'll put it to you this way. There are many people who have been turned off by formal religion. Rightly or wrongly, that's a fact. We have to just address that. They may not tell you that, but it is a fact. But a lot of their knowledge of formal religion comes from the media. In the media, there are Christians in the media, but normally speaking, people of faith are shown as being hypocrites or phonies or racist or just confused people, not knowing which way is up or down. They're pretty much shown as the problem of society. But I said, wait a second. We need to have a different narrative that kind of balances that out, that shows that, yeah, we're not perfect, but there is power in faith. There are people of integrity who are living daily lives, whether they're teachers, plumbers, musicians, whatever. So I wanted to start creating stories that kind of showed that. But then I started thinking further, and here's where the really off-Broadway part comes out. Because so many people will not go to church, and if you invite them in the middle of winter, they'll tell you they have to mow their lawn. There's no reason to mow your lawn in the middle of the winter. But they'll come up with any excuse. But those same people will come to a Broadway show if you invite them. So now you're taking them into an environment where they're comfortable in. So we're taking the message of the cross, we're making it entertaining, we're putting it in an arena where people can feel comfortable, and that way it becomes a kingdom project, because church people all over New York City can now invite their friends, their family, who may never come to their church, but they can now invite them to a Broadway show. And so I put these ideas together, and that's why I'm doing this particular show and why I'm doing it in a theater as opposed to doing it in a church, let's say. So I really look at it as a kingdom project. My church name is not attached to it, nor will it ever be attached to it, because the vision is for it to be a kingdom project where people can just invite whoever they want to. So that's kind of how it, that's the kind of the genesis of it and how it develops.
How large is the cast?
So we have 12 very energetic professional actors. It's a professional cast. We held professional auditions through various media that actors would look for jobs. And we held the auditions over 3 days. There are actors in the play that are people of faith. There are actors who are just great actors, all a great bunch of people. And I like that mix. I like being able to be an influence, a positive influence on people, because that's what it's all about.
This is a play that anyone will enjoy, whether they happen to go to church a lot or not. In some way, they're going to enjoy this play, right?
Oh, absolutely, because the themes are universal. Themes of developing character when you're faced with a choice between just making money or doing the right thing. That's something we all face every day. We all face, do we put money in front of our friendships? Something we face every day. How do we overcome problems, these challenges, once we find ourselves stuck in the middle of it? The characters in this play are on a journey, and we take them on a journey, again, using music, using comedy, but they're on a journey to discover themselves and find something greater about themselves. And I think that that's a story that everyone could benefit from.
So that ties in with your ultimate goal for having put on this production?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I want to be able to create a narrative that is helpful to people, that's entertaining, of course, because it is not just entertaining. We can make a documentary, but I do want to entertain. I'm an entertainer, so I like to be entertained, and I like entertaining people. At the same time, I want them to walk away with something that will be beneficial in their day-to-day life, so that after they've sung the songs and danced to the music and laughed at some of these situations, that they can take something out of that will be helpful to them. I'm very confident that we were able to accomplish that.
Wonderful. Is there a conflict with being a jazz musician and being a playwright?
The conflict, I would say, is one of my own time. What I didn't realize once I started writing plays and tried to take them into professional level, how time-consuming it is. So now it's sort of like both sides of me are battling, so to speak, for time. The jazz musician is saying, hey, Kev, we need more time. The playwright is saying, hey, you got to go back to Act 1, Scene 2, and tweak, you know, and tweak someone's dialogue. So it's a lot of fun, but I look at art as being fungible, if that's the word. And what I mean by that is the principles I've learned in music apply to writing, and the principles I've learned in writing apply to music. So ultimately, I think it's making me a more complete and better artist, but it is a challenge trying to work it all in a 24-hour day.
It certainly is. Believe me, that's probably why you'll note that these amazing film directors, and I know the film directing is an entirely different thing than playwriting, but they will only turn out maybe one or two films a year because it takes so much of their lives. A big chunk of your life goes with that production, and you never get it back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you want to tell authentic stories. You want to tell stories that are in substance true, even if the characters are fictional, or even if the plot is quote-unquote fictional. But the relationships have to be authentic. The emotions have to be authentic, and that's what is so gut-wrenching, and that's why you really leave your heart in every production. And I think that is a universal among, you know, the great singers, the great musicians, the great playwrights. So here again, where it's all kind of fungible. You know, Carmen, I know that you're a great singer, and I know that when you sing a song, it's authentic. It's got to be real to you. And I've heard you sing many times, and when I hear you sing, that comes across. So you communicate something to me.
Thank you.
And it's like I can't wait to hear you sing again. But that is,
I'll sing if you play.
You got it. I'll be playing during the production because my band, the Jazz Cats, we actually open up with a 20-30 minute set just to kind of get people in the mood to have a good time. So we will be playing that entire week, and then I put on my director's hat. It's being authentic that really separates the artist from the hack.
Who's your favorite screenwriter? Is it Tyler Perry, Steven Spielberg, Martin Scorsese? Give us an idea.
Oh, my goodness. That's a really tough one because I've learned so much, all of those people that you've mentioned, and I love them all for different reasons. I'll go back to a guy that most people have forgotten about, but some of you artistic folks out there may know the name of Preston Sturges. Preston Sturges, if you don't know that name, you need to Google him and watch some of his films. A tremendous, pivotal talent in the world of screenwriting and directing. So he's very high on the list. Of course, Martin Scorsese, I think, is on everybody's list, and it's a name that people know.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way Tyler Perry makes room for God in his movie. Now, here's a fellow who gets, you know, Tyler Perry gets criticized a lot.
Yes, he does.
But
he does get criticized a lot, but just, I love the earthiness of his films. I like that they're raw and not so overly polished. You don't feel like they're overly Hollywoodish.
Yeah, and because they're not. I mean, here's a guy who fulfilled his vision, and the thing that he gets criticized for, to me, an absolute genius. To create a character like Madea, people will say, oh, she's a stereotype character. No, she's not. I know people like that. I grew up with people like that. That's no stereotype. And the fact that she is an amalgam of so many different matriarchal black women of that era, yeah, I mean, I grew up with that. And a lot of those folks that are criticizing him, so did they. So his characters are real-life characters, and they're very diverse. You don't just see one type of ethnic character, if you will. You do see quite a variety. And, again, God shows up, and he makes room for faith. So I love him. How can I forget Alfred Hitchcock? I mean, now we can go on for hours. I know we have, like, 10 minutes, but now you ask me the loaded question. So don't ask me my favorite musicians, because then we're really in trouble. Alfred Hitchcock, how can a master of suspense? Oh, my goodness. There's so many of these guys who I just love. Woody Allen. I love the work that he's done in film.
And he's a musician, too, like you. I think that I did ask you if there was a conflict between you being a jazz musician and being a playwright. And Woody Allen is one of those people who's torn between his love of filming and his love of playing the clarinet.
Well, the great thing about Woody is that he gets a chance. I don't know if he still does this, but for years and years, every Monday night, there was a place in Manhattan. I forget the club that he played in. But he would sit in every Monday night, faithfully, for years, playing clarinet. So
yeah.
I'm saying, you know, that's my idol there.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing his movie thing, and he's also expressing himself musically. And it's a beautiful thing, but it's great if people who have been given these kinds of abilities will take a moment and just thank God that God blessed them with this before they were born. And hopefully more and more people will acknowledge the fact that they didn't build that, if I can get political for a second, that God built it.
Right. Do you have any music out there, aside from your play, because I know that you need to tell us when your play will be on, how many days and so on. Tell us where to find your music. Tell us where to find any announcements that we need to be updated on.
Well, let's see. We are on Reverb Nation, the Jazz Cats. We are on YouTube. We have a Facebook page, the Jazz Cats. There's music on there as well. We have some music on the page One in a Million, the musical, because Jazz Cats, sort of, it's a hybrid show, if you will. I think, by the way, I think it's a great idea to combine both of those elements in one show. Mm-hmm. So those are the places you can find our music. Also with announcements on the Jazz Cats Facebook page, our website is under development. That'll be ready presently. But that's where you can find information right now. So we're in a lot of different social media sites, so it's we're pretty easy to find.
Same
we're on
page.
Facebook also, Jazz Cats, JazzCatz, instead of S.
Are you writing anything new, or are you planning to do anything after this Broadway production, or are you going to take it on the road, or what's new with
a great question, Carmen, and
mm-hmm.
the answer to those questions are yes, yes, yes. The play itself, this particular production, off-Broadway production, will be performed 1 week from December 3rd through December 8th at the Roy Arias Theater. That's 300 West 43rd Street. But
mm-hmm.
what I'm planning to do is do a more extended run sometime next year of this play. I have another play that's fully written. I have two more that are under development, and I'm very excited about those projects and the subject matter of those plays. Yes, I'm constantly writing music. That's sort of a constant with me. And I can already see how some of the music I'm writing is for the plays that are in various stages of completion. And then I'm also writing jazz tunes as well. There's a lot more to come.
I heard that you may be having One in a Million on audio and possibly a soundtrack. Is that correct?
We're going to share that. Should we share that with everybody? Yes. Let's share that with everybody.
Oh, wonderful. People want to go see the play. Is there a place where they can go buy tickets?
Yes, there is. You can buy tickets on itickets.com. That's a small I, then the word tickets, plural, with an S on the end, .com. And you look for One in a Million musical. As we speak now, Saturday night is sold out, but there are still seats available Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So we would encourage everyone to just come out in a good time. It's a great two-for-one deal. You're getting the jazz cast, great Latin jazz music. You're getting a quality play. It makes it for a great date night, a great night, again, to invite people that might not come to church. So those nights are available, and that's how you get tickets. Also, you can call Kevin Davis Productions at 917-374-1556 for further information. The email is info@jazzcatz.net. I would appreciate that everyone out there would come and just kind of partake in what we're putting on. It's truly a wondrous evening of music, of laughter. And listen, with all of New York, what we've been through, it's really time for us to laugh, sing, dance, and hope again.
Kevin, thank you so much for being on the program. I know that I can't keep you on too long because you are on call for the next 24, 48 hours before the start of your show. But I thank you for taking time out to spend with me here on the New York Podcasting Cafe. And
Carmen,
I pray for your success, and I wish you well. And I'll be
you,
in
Carmen.
Your audience on Thursday covering the
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely. Everybody hear that? Listen, you want to meet the best host in New York City? Thursday night, she's going to be there, okay, in person. You don't want to miss that.
I'm not exactly a Howard Stern or a Delilah, but I certainly admire Delilah out of the two. You might be able to tell that she's been an influence to me.
No. Folks, you don't want to miss, come down and see Carmen. That's a new selling point. That's a new tagline. All of you have been listening to her, hearing her great interviews, but Carmen is somebody to be experienced. Thursday night at the Roy Arias Theater.
More importantly, will I get to meet Mrs. Davis, Glenda? Will I see her on Thursday?
She will be there somewhere.
Oh, great.
Running around, probably. but she will be there.
Kevin, I thank you again for being on the program, and I can't wait to do a full-length interview with you.
Oh, man, I can't wait either.
And maybe you'll even play some live saxophone music for us on the program.
Maybe we can do something like that.
Thank you for being here, and I will be talking to you soon.
Carmen, I will see you soon.
Absolutely. We're connected for life. You're my family.
Absolutely.
Here. We attended the same church gatherings together, and to me, this is a lifelong journey, and I'm glad to be taking
beautiful.
It with you and Glenda.
Beautiful. Thank you, Carmen. We'll talk soon.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Adieu.
You have been listening to an interview with Kevin Davis, jazz musician, saxophone player, and the director of the One in a Million musical off-Broadway in New York City. This is Carmen Amrose, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe. Thank you for tuning in. Season, there are many folks out there who need your support. So please support the Red Cross. Go to www.redcross.org. To learn more about how you can advertise on this program, contact Carmen G at NewYorkPodCafe.com. Pod Cafe with your host, Carmen Amaral. Hello, this is Carmen Amaral. Thank you for listening.